Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No man, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I need a lot of slime. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 281 of Fourth and John. I'm Gail Saunders, here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Primo of the building, and Mr. Mal. We are talking the DeSean Jackson interview. The I Am Athlete interview was highly entertaining. if you're a DeSean Jackson fan or, for myself, Stan, it was kind of like a decade in the waiting for me to like get some of these nuggets, some of the things that he dropped you haven't heard before. He briefly talked about certain situations in his career, which has led him up to this point as an OG in the game, but just the going back and just reflecting on his career and what he's meant to a lot of Eagles fans. He's always been a dynamic playmaker. He's always been his own person, and he's always had that chip on his shoulder. And it was cool for him to be transparent about his time in Philly and in the NFL. He did drop some things, which we'll talk about in a second. But how did you guys feel overall?
There was a lot of little nuggets that were dropped in there, man. I mean, first of all, it was great to see DeSean Jackson and Shady in the same room again. Absolutely. And those two enjoying their time, because I remember back, during their heyday or their prime in Philadelphia, like those boys were inseparable. I remember the one video specifically of Shady after DeSean left, and he had the picture of DeSean's face on the little stick, and he was imitating DeSean Jackson. But it was cool to see that. But also, we got some stuff to talk about negative wise, about maybe a former quarterback.
About your man, that's your boy.
Man, look, I agree with Evan. It was cool to see DeSean Jackson, and I'm gonna say Big McCoy, because it looked like he put some weight on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get more into what was said, but it's crazy. Watching that interview, knowing, a bunch of that stuff happened, not surprised. Honestly, not surprised. It's just about damn time. Somebody spoke on it. But if I sit here and tell you that, I was expecting DeSean, I'm like, I'm shocked. I'm shocked because of the fact that, the way those two were sinking.
Yep.
I mean, McNabb kind of made DeSean make McNabb, and for them to be coming at each other's neck, I'm like, wow. But hey, it is what it is, man. I mean, that's your boy.
I don't know who he pointed at.
It's funny because everybody at this moment is kind of like passing McNabb.
Your boy.
Like, that's your man's right there, son. Not surprised. First, I want to say, yo, happy Pride Month to all the people in the LGBTQIA community. Happy Pride. Hope y'all living y'all best lives out here in these streets. As far as D-Jax, always loved D-Jax. That's my man. It was funny hearing him in the beginning saying that Megatron wasn't a better deep threat. I don't know about that. I feel like Mega, when you're trying to talk down Randy Moss and Megatron, you kind of bugging. Those are two legitimate Hall of Famers that did everything. But I feel like he was valid, right? Like, you know, being that he was diminutive, he had to run past a lot of people, right? Or like use his athleticism to get by folks instead of jump over them. Not surprised by McNabb. I soured on McNabb when he had that whole press conference talking about T.O. And he was like, he doesn't rely on one player. And I was like, this dude is an idiot, right? Like, who doesn't rely on a future Hall of Famer who came back with a broken ankle, went for over 100 yards in the Super Bowl where you threw up coming out of the huddle and then you threw the interception to seal the game? Like, maybe if you threw it to him more, we might have won the jump. You know what I mean? So not surprised by McNabb being, as somebody said earlier, McNabb being a noodle. That's not surprising. It's disappointing. 5 NFC championship games, right? Like, yo, what this team could have been had he just not been who he is. Yeah. But live and you learn, man. You know, he was also one of the best quarterbacks from that era, like top 3, top 4 in passing, pretty much every passive metric that exists when you compare him to like Peyton, Breeze, all of those dudes. So he did his thing with Andy Reid too.
Yeah, the whole McNabb thing, I think, you know, we should just get it out there as we, because it's one clip that they really pushed. They basically talked about, Deshaun Jackson talked about a moment where McNabb behind his back went to Michael Vick at the time and told him that Deshaun Jackson shouldn't have made the Pro Bowl under two positions. Okay. And he's the first player in NFL history to have that under his belt.
He said that
belt.
Like 4 or 5 times too.
Like,
I was the first player to do that.
I mean, like, you got to toot your horn when you can. So yeah. I felt like he felt like McNabb should have supported him as his quarterback. And as his wide receiver, you would think that Donovan would support him. You know, it kind of like, is that on some haterade?
I mean, Deshaun Jackson isn't capable of doing that without McNabb, and from McNabb not to realize that, like, dude, that he's on your team. That's one thing that never really made any sense to me. But like looking at that interview, and like I grew up after the whole Donovan McNabb era, I was thinking to myself for the longest time about how the Eagles really did do McNabb a disservice. They took forever to get Terrell Owens there.
Yeah.
But, like, look at his relationships with his wide receivers. Yeah. Like, did the Eagles really do that much of a disservice, or is McNabb just that much of a pain in the ass to work with? I mean, were we really a destination that was worth coming to when these sorts of stories were floating around, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's a bit tough because it's like, is there really any correlation between the two? Right. Like, is it that they couldn't acquire really high level talent because McNabb was so hard to play with? Or did the front office not focus on it because McNabb was gone for 4,000 yards every year with under the radar talent? Right. And so I don't know which of those two it really is. I mean, he ran that offense really well. Like, I lived through, like, I was Randall Cunningham, McNabb, like those two errors, and like watching Randall Cunningham give everything that he had and like leave it on the field. And it was always that feeling McNabb just was not giving everything he had. You know what I mean? But he did play on a busted up ankle, right? Like, he played on a broken ankle.
Correct.
And so, you know, I'm not going to sit here and like knock this man down completely. Again, if he wasn't such a unlikable person, probably goes to the Hall of Fame when you compare again his numbers to some of these other quarterbacks from that era. He's right there with him. You know, 5 NFC championships, dude. That's nothing to sneeze at. Now to convert any of them is bananas, but you know, it's not easy to do.
You definitely can't take that away from him, but I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I'm very interested to find out what actually went wrong, because I mean, you hear about all the stuff that happened with Wentz. I mean, who's to say a lot of that stuff didn't happen in the McNabb era? We had T.O. Yeah, we had everything lined up. I mean, look, I'm not going to take nothing away from him. He made things happen with low, you know, some wide receivers that weren't even at that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Greg Lewis.
James Pinkston. Thrash. Pinkston.
Thrash.
Reggie Brown.
Reggie Brown. Exactly. Like guys that like unknown people, he made things happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it goes back to what you just said, more like the prima donna kick in. Like, did he feel some type of way because the spotlight was being taken away from him? T.O., I mean, come on, man. T.O. came in here and everybody was hyped up about T.O. Another situation where T.O. made McNabb, McNabb made T.O. These guys were working together. And the way that year started off, the way that year went, you were thinking like, yo, man,
we got
something here.
Yeah.
For the next few years, and that shit just stopped after the first year
abruptly. it's wild because like what we remember from that era is T.O. doing sit-ups in his driveway, right? And like all these years later, you find out that, you know, Donovan McNabb was sort of like the catalyst for that breakup, the catalyst for like maybe some of the. My dad used to always comment about McNabb throwing ground balls to wide receivers short, like his short accuracy was just atrocious, and then clutch time. Appalling, like the Rondé Barber and the NFC Championship game versus Tampa Bay that ended it, right? Like you just like I remember him for that's a great analogy. I remember him for the mistakes that he made because so many of those were the ones that like in crunch time you don't expect your best player to make, right? And time and time again, yo, Donovan McNabb was like throwing a pick, throwing an incompletion, fumbling. And it's like, damn, bro, like what could have been? It's that whole what could have been. We could have been a dynasty, but instead we were just.
Oh, I got a quick, my bad. Hold on, Ev. I got a quick story to tell. Reno Mahe used to live on top of my cousin's spot back in the day. If you guys don't remember Reno Mahe, you know what I mean? He was just like a short stint with the Eagles and everything. Yeah. But him and T.O. were real close. And I'm looking at Blue Meanie's comment here how, you know, I mean, these guys would get together on days off or back in the locker room and try to bring things to his attention. And, yo, it was the truth. Like, people would go ahead and let them know, yo, I was open on this route, or they'll go over tape. Like, right here is where you need to see me. Right here is where you need to hit me. And, yo, this man was spaz out. Don't tell me how to throw the ball. You know what I mean? You know, look, the comment, shut up. Oh, he really would act like that. And, you know, I mean, I heard stories of that's how he was in the locker room. And, you know, what I mean, that locker room just started getting, you know, started separating more and more as time was going on. So a lot of these stories that are coming out is just like, it's wild.
Yeah. So Cody mentioned, sorry, in the comments real quick, that you can't blame McNabb for this not being a franchise. I don't want that. Like, I hope that that's not how what I'm saying is coming across. One person can't cost you a franchise.
No.
One person's repetitive mistakes can absolutely take you out of position of being a franchise, right? And like repetitive mistakes in big games where you absolutely need him to show up, and time again, he didn't. When you have defenders showing up, you got wide receivers making miraculous plays, you got returners doing things that they ain't never did in their career.
Yeah.
T.O. playing on a broken leg, right? And then in the clutches moment of the Super Bowl, he throws an interception and he stared down the wide receiver. And so, nah, it's not all on McNabb. It's a team game either way.
I was just going to say, if you just look at the personalities of wide receivers, I mean, they tend to have a similar type of personality across the league. Yeah. Same thing with defensive backs. But the thing is that like Terrell Owens came here, he absorbed the limelight, and McNabb seemed to really take offense to that because McNabb, he was here. He was the man forever. And it just seems to me like McNabb had a very similar, the fact that he hated T.O. for stealing the spotlight. Like he didn't recognize that he hated T.O. because he wanted to be T.O. and right. For lack of a better term, you know what I mean? Like he wanted the spotlight back on himself, and he didn't realize that as a quarterback, you need to be supportive of the guys that help you to greatness. And the fact that he just wanted to be number one, that was the most important thing to him on the team, is that he is looked at as the most important player on this team. And that's not something that you can build around.
I think he was definitely sensitive. And I think, you know, the way that he was portrayed, he envisioned himself as a person where, you know, whether the offense running through him or, you know, him being the focal point of the offense. I think when T.O. got here, those Lehigh camps with when T.O. showed up was like rock star moments. Like everybody, it was insane. But you know, in terms of like the I Am Athlete, DeSean Jackson interview, just going back to some of those moments where DeSean Jackson said that was like LeSean McCoy was like, tell him that story about how McNabb charges $25 for some white party. And they're like, what? You charging us money? And to quote DeSean Jackson, he said McNabb was one of the most richest, cheapest MFers that he's ever known. And it like, again, every football team has like a dynamic. Everyone, there's different characters. Like the teams I play with in college, we to this day, my teammates still hold these stories tight to the vest. And some people know these stories, and some people don't know these stories. So the fact that DeSean Jackson just launched a little story, he's, you know, into the ETH, like, because like no one's ever heard this one. So were you like, word? So well, it was definitely, I felt like, you know, it was a gift that he lobbed to the timeline.
To be honest with you, it was somewhat of a straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing for me too, man. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I didn't have the privilege of growing up with Randall Cunningham. McNabb was the first quarterback I remember in my Eagles fandom. So to me, like, that was the most successful I had ever seen the Eagles was during McNabb's run. So that means something to me. But at the same time, like, every single story I hear about McNabb, it's never positive, man. It's always some negative stuff. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt after the DUIs. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt after all of his other nonsense that he gets himself involved in. And how he just, like, even though I don't like Carson Wentz anymore, but the fact that he wasn't willing to support him just because he was instantly loved as soon as he came to Philadelphia, it's like, dude, you're just whack, bro.
Well, he did lose his job. He did lose his job at NFL Network for that situation that went down as well. But it's just like it was definitely just. I think that was one of the juiciest nuggets that people were just like, whoa.
My thing is, D-Jax is a street dude too, right? Like, not to cut you off, but before we go to the next piece of this, like, he's not known for chatting, right? Like, D-Jax is a street cat, and so for him to divulge this sort of information says a lot about just the state of their relationship, because he could have just as easily not said anything, right? And like, yeah, you know, Shady was like, exactly, Shady was hype, like he kept egging them on. But D-Jack is still a street dude, Joe, right? But like, D-Jack is still a street dude, and like, he carries himself a very specific way. And for him to walk into that interview and give up the tea like that says a lot, bro. Just says a lot about how folks think about McNabb. His own team, yo, if your own teammates ain't rocking with you, like, that speaks volumes of your character.
He said him and McNabb were good, but he just,
and then threw him on, like, the bus immediately.
He's like, we're still good, but he's like, I don't want to, he said, I don't want to talk about the TO situation because I don't want to talk about another man's situation. Which, but I'm telling you what, yeah, I'm telling you what, you know, I know from my personal story, it's just the way that he put it out there. I was just like, that's interesting.
I kind of want to have these two underneath of us battle it out over. So who was the bigger non-teammate? Was it the guy above prime right now, or was it McNabb? Wow. I mean, we had Wentz out there completely ignoring
names, so you know where I stand. I don't need to say 11 and 25. I don't say their names. They dead to me in this city. May they live prosperous lives, but may I never speak their names again. I say McNabb, so you can guess where I'm at.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
You know where I'm at, man. So you know where I'm at.
The thing that's funny about this situation is, like, I spent, you know, if you've been on the internet as long as I have, just in these.
It's the inception, you mean?
You talk about, you know, chat rooms where you're trying to, like, back this dude up. Like, again, you don't know him personally. Yeah. So you're, like, fighting for McNabb and, like, sticking up for him. And you know, I would hear these different stories, and then I had a coworker of mine at MTV was like, "Yo, I got your boy." He's like, he knew how big of an Eagle fan I was. He's like, "Yo, I got your boy. We're doing this shoot, and I'll let you know how it goes." And then you know, I didn't ask him how it went. He just hit me up immediately after it was done. He was just like, "Yo, your boy isn't who you think he is."
Yep.
He said these were his words. He's like, "Your boy is a cornball." And I said, "What?"
For Donovan McNabb.
I said, "What?" He's like, "Bro." He's like, he just was doing some weird shit. And I'm just saying, as much as you talk about it, I'm just letting you know. So then I ended up, I was at Super Bowl Radio Row. Got a chance to meet Westbrook. Got a chance to meet Michael Kendricks, Joe Montana. You name like Barry Sanders. Nice. Everybody, Doug Flutie, everyone, everyone is just extremely nice. The only person who at the time, you know, I'm all of a sudden Donovan McNabb's there. I'm like, finally get to meet Donovan McNabb. Walk up, yo, just kill me. It was the worst experience that I've ever had with meeting any Philadelphia athlete. I was like, bro, man. Like, I was like, you just. He just this was like, get out of my way. Like, I was like, bro, there's no one here. It's just right. Me and you. And I was like, bro, really? I was like, I was like, maybe it is true. I don't know. But
I had one run in with McNabb, but it was nothing of that. I can add to of him being a jerk. For Christ's sake, I was 5 years old. I went up to him while he was mid meal at Benihana. And my dad was like, "Yo, that's Donovan McNabb over there. You should go get an autograph." I was like, "But you know, maybe if he was a total dick to me, then I could have seen the writing on the wall."
Did you bro, get listen, the autograph?
I mean, I would go to Lehigh every year to go see these guys practice.
Everybody
on that squad would acknowledge the fans. Him, he was a totally different person, man.
That might have been at the very beginning of his career too, because he was drafted in '99, right? And so if I was five, that was like right then. So.
Yeah, I mean, also, let's keep it a buck. We booed him when he got drafted. Yeah, right? Yeah, so, like, it ain't just like we welcomed him with open arms. Boo him. There's all
no, I didn't, like, I didn't boo him. As there wasn't a booing around that black notoriously happened.
That's his hero, bro. That's his hero.
Like,
cut me deep, man. Holmes cut me deep.
He came in as that second pick and got booed mercilessly. So, you know, it's not like, again, And when he was hating on Wentz for, like, the automatic love that Wentz got, I understood where he was coming from, but I also feel like it's certain things that you just don't say out loud, right? That, like, yo, that's another professional athlete. That's another quarterback. Like, the NFL, working with Tim, right? Like, I've learned about the fraternity of the NFL. Like, that's a very real thing. And the fact that, again, like, who has said anything positive about Donovan McNabb, bro? Like, I don't know a person that played with him or played against him that's come out and been like, yo, that's a real dude right there. Like, I'll rock with him. Like, it's crickets. Like, people rather say nothing bad
The icing on the cake for me is when he got, you know, traded to the Redskins, when he went to the Redskins, and then he just started bad-mouthing the city, the team. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So it was just like, all right. People will question me, like, yo, with all this stuff that you guys see behind me, this is the first year that a Donovan McNabb item came into this cave. First time. All right.
I just want to,
then not with this shit even going on, I'm ready to go ahead and boot it out.
Yeah, take 11.
Yeah, if you want it, Gail, if you want it, start you can over. Have it. Matter of fact,
people ask me about, bro, I used to own a McNabb. I do not own anything.
You're going to have one soon.
I don't either.
This thing is out.
In regards to the draft, Carson, too, I want to just look at the juxtaposition between these two comments. Because apparently the draft booing was predicting our future Super Bowl win, followed by I booed the shit out of McStab at the draft.
Now I know Sean, you know, shoulder pad Sean, he had mentioned that he was part of the group that booed, and he to this day he felt you know, it was kind of just like they all kind of wanted a different player. So he didn't really
Ricky Williams that they wanted, right?
Yeah. He didn't really mean to, like, it was just like the fact that he wanted, you know, but to this day he still feels bad about it. But I mean, overall,
correct. Shoulder Pass Sean had a Ricky Williams jersey on that day.
I'm not sure.
He got a Ricky Williams jersey made for that draft. If my mind serves me correct.
I bumped into Shoulder Pad Sean the other day, down at the Lids, man. Shit was hilarious. That's my guy. But
wasn't you the one telling us we can't curse?
Did I curse?
Wasn't you the one?
Four times already.
I didn't say no F bombs yet. I didn't say no F bombs yet.
That's 40 cents already docked.
but
go. Surprise, motherfucker.
Oh, and there we go.
I cut it off.
And we're done.
Yo, what was your favorite soup back then, Gail?
Huh?
What was your favorite soup back then?
Soup?
Yeah.
I'm something chunky. I eat it all.
You were on that chunky shit.
You know, New England clam chowder, maybe.
Donovan McNabb commercial came out. That man went and bought all the soup off the show.
Now going back to the Deshaun Jackson interview, I think a lot of people don't really, I guess I don't know if the young heads realize how to be on the cover of NCAA football. Deshaun Jackson was on the cover, bro.
In all fairness, Madden was Madden 06.
Yeah. But we're talking about Deshaun here. We're talking about Deshaun.
Talking about both of them.
No. Enough about McNabb. But Deshaun was that dude coming out of college. Absolutely. Where there was a move. It was a punt return that he had against Texas, and he did this dart in, like dart out move on the fly. Like I ain't ever seen a player do that full speed juke move, like juke in, juke out on the fly. And after that, I was like, I've never seen a football player do that. I was like, this is next level. I don't think I was like, I want the Eagles to draft him immediately. And him being 160 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, he talked about himself being the prototype for, like, you know, back then they weren't drafting skinny dudes who were built like R&B backup dancers.
Because you could still get destroyed. Like, you had maniacs rolling through that secondary, man. Like, I was watching Bob Sanders at highlights earlier. Like, you had dudes like that. It was no targeting, right? Like, it was no helmet-to-helmet stuff. Like, you got reward Roy Williams from the Cowboys, right? Like, you got rewarded for knocking people out.
Steve I remember that one against the Falcons. I forgot who was the cornerback that knocked Deshaun Jackson out, like took him out. I forgot what game. I forgot who it was, but it was against the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, so you're right. Like, that was one of the things on why we're questioning, you know what I mean? Like Devontae Smith coming in at the size that he in. But Deshaun Jackson is the proof in the pudding. Like, yo, man, it doesn't matter the size. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to do my thing. And that's what he's been doing. So.
Can we just take a step back in time too, to 2008 and 2009 when Deshaun got drafted? In 2008, I mean, obviously, he went in the second round. We had success. But then immediately followed that up the following year with a first-round selection of Jeremy Maclin. I'm kind of looking at where we're at right now. We drafted Devontae Smith last year, made a trade for A.J. Brown. I mean, I think of that Deshaun Jackson-Maclin group as, you know, probably one of the best wide receiver cores we had in the past 25 years. And if we can get back to that with this group, I think that we definitely could.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Maclin and Deshaun were just pure speed. I mean, just the fact that
hours either, bro.
LeSean McCoy had a moment on the I Am Athlete podcast where he was just talking about how good Deshaun, like, he had a moment in camp on like he was just talking to his boys about like how good Deshaun was. Like, he was blown away. Like, he said he was in awe. And he said that he was listening to DeSean Jackson talk about, like, you know, you got to put the Ferrari, you got to put the Ferrari away before Sunday. And he was like, who, what is he keep talking about? Put the Ferrari away before Sunday. And then he saw, he said that Andy Reid actually didn't talk to rookies back then, but he, DeSean Jackson had mentioned that he told Andy Reid, he's like, yo, you got to put the Ferrari away on Sunday. So he realized that DeSean referred to himself as the Ferrari. So on Sundays, you know, when he let it rip, he really knew, he found out how good he was. He was just like in awe about how good, how fast and suddenly fast he was.
I'm gonna always remember the chest bump him and Andy Reid had.
Well, let's not forget that he got traded for Kiko Alonso because he was a crip, right? Like, you want to talk about that
was that Shady? I thought Shady got traded. No, Sean got outright cut. No.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he got cut. Right. Yeah, good call. Yeah. Because he was cripping so hard that, like, it was interfering with
that nothing ended up coming of it. You mean
that went on for 10 more years, right? Like, it's just bananas, man. That. Like, yeah, so sorry, yes. He gets cut, Shady gets traded, and, like, that's the end of an era, right? Of, like, some of our most productive skill players just disgracefully just released and just banished away from the team for a dude that is now at UCLA not doing a very good job. So,
and the man came back and haunted us every time he played us.
Oh, yeah. Yo, D-Jax talks about that all the time. In that interview, he was like, yo, every time I was targeting the Eagles.
No, dude, time. And that was one that I, like, even watching him on the Redskins, man, I was sitting there and I couldn't – I specifically remember him scoring, like, an 80-yard touchdown and then flapping his wings into the end zone. And then
oh, the kick, dance.
And then kicking the bird. And I, like, everyone – I remember there being posts and all this after that, and they're like, oh, see how he thinks about Philadelphia? I was like, dude – I'm glad he did that. We deserved it. Like that. Absolutely. I have no problem with DeSean doing that whatsoever. I mean, absolutely. We are the ones that wronged him.
Yeah. And he talks about in that in the interview, saying that, you know, he really goes back to, like, he's like, the way that the media portrays some of these athletes today, talking about their situation and their lifestyle that they don't know or understand the culture that they live in. He's just talking about, like, going through, you know, taking the bus and, you know, whether it's Mexicans or, you know, black gangs or, you know, opposite, you know, Crips and Bloods. And, like, at every angle, you're tested as a kid in those neighborhoods. And you always had to have this chip on your shoulder. And one of his friends, childhood friends, had beaten a murder charge. And he picked him up from, you know, prison. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what was I not supposed to do? Pick up my friend. And then all of a sudden I got tied up into all this. And he's like, you know, he also talked about his relationship with Nipsey as well, how they grew up together. And they both lived in the same neighborhood. He talked about, you know, how he, you know, he's trying to put all his friends on to Nipsey before he was even a thing. But just talking about his relationships with his friends and having to, like, you know, him back in the day versus now, he's like, I think he's like, now that I have kids, I had to, like, cut off a lot of my friends out there who were like, you know, let me get a couple thousand here. Let me get a couple. He's like, I had to, like, narrow it down. My entourage was like, you know, I got about two people now these days. So I think the maturation process of watching him grow has been pretty interesting.
Well, I mean, obviously that all that stuff that got him kicked out of town was bogus. But, like, I do think that when he had his second stint with the Eagles, we did 100% see a more mature DeSean Jackson.
Absolutely.
When he was here.
Yes, yeah. He was. Because, I mean, that was – I even remember when he got up in front of the team and had a conversation with them, you know what I mean, kind of, like, broke it down to him. Like, he was the OG that day. Mm-hmm. And listening to him talk is, like, going back to what you said, Mar, like – the ghetto-ness in him is just never going to leave, because, like, the way he was just
fitting, street dude,
he was just straight street the whole time. You know what I mean? So, like, that's DJ, man. He's always going to remember. Look, going back to some of the stuff that we talked about, I never was upset on how that man came back and murdered us on that field, whether if it was with the Redskins or with Tampa Bay. Like, I loved seeing that dude, period, man. And he's, you know what I mean, he's going to go down as one of of many of my all-time favorite Eagles, for real.
And I think it goes to like a larger sort of conversation around how Black athletes are like depicted, portrayed, seen like as just commodities, right? Like not as human beings, right? Like Todd mentioned, like he grew up in one of the toughest neighborhoods in LA. And so you're going to be around some real live street dudes. Like it's plenty of dudes that's banging in the NFL and the NBA, right? Like we're well aware of these things. That is not an indictment on their character, right? Like what you had to do to grow up and survive is a big reason why you had the fire inside of you in the first place to get to the NFL, right? It's because you were coming from conditions in which you didn't want to exist any longer. You were trying to get your family out. And so, you know, I think it's funny sometimes how we flip that on its head to say, hey, like that motivation to do better for yourself is great, but like you can't be in the game. Like, oh, okay. Nah, that's not choice. Some of that is life, like blood in, blood out. Like if you come home, like you home, bro, right? Like you ain't going nowhere. Like that's a lifelong endeavor. And so, I don't want to knock that man for having a tough life situation. But like I was saying, he matured exponentially and is now in a position where he's putting dudes on game around how to navigate around those types of situations.
You know, Raksek talks about he really wants D-Dak to win a ring with the Eagles before he retired. I mean, that would have been nice. I mean, the fact that, you know, he was like the prodigal son returning. Mm-hmm. He had a moment before he got injured where he caught that that ball on the end zone and burned. Like, he's always burning somebody. But the fact that he did get a Super Bowl ring with the Rams, I think he accrued enough time to play with them. But he did talk about his relationship with McVay. And how before McVay was even hired as the Ram coach, he was contacted about how McVay was a coach in his times at Washington. So they were super tight, actually the same age. And the fact that he goes to the Rams, you know, years later, and he's with McVay, and McVay is actually telling him, you know, he was like kind of sorry that he didn't have a role for DeSean Jackson. So it was kind of awkward. So he was like, well, if you're not going to utilize me, then maybe he's like, maybe we can get you a trade. Maybe he's like, I can't even talk to you about like, because I feel awkward that I can't fit you in this offense. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a mutual thing. It was like a, you know,
bad breakup I was type like, of thing.
Right.
Like someone was writing a hit piece on him and ran him out of town or something.
And then Robert Woods got injured right after they moved on from him. And, you know, I could have had a role in the Super Bowl, but, you know, and then they got OBJ as well. So, I mean, he still got his ring.
And he's still available right now. He just said he's considering his future.
Are you trying to bring him back for one more time?
Hey, look, man. I'm with it.
I'd start him over Greg Ward.
I'm with it.
My thing is, like, it's going to be the same thing with the Rams, right? It's like, what kind of role does he have on a team like this outside of being a mentor? If he's cool with being a mentor, by all means, like, especially with somebody like, you know, I forget who said it, but Devontae Smith, it might have been you, Prime, like, the undersized wide receivers, like, he is that guy. He is that prototype. Like he said, you know, he'll teach you all about how to get open in the NFL. But if he's still looking to be like an active contributor to an offense, I don't think that the Eagles can afford to like give him that.
No, five wide receivers
deep right now. So I think that would be
absolutely
hard. Yeah,
absolutely.
Miracle in Meadowlands too.
But I'm down. Mm-hmm. I'm down to bring him back just for that, man. I think that will be a good role for him. And then look, not for nothing, we could get a good three, four plays during the season out of that man, because he averages a 50-plus play every time. So I'll take that all day. You know what I mean? He played his part. I'm good with that.
I do have to give it up where it's due too, because like, I mean, I love DeSean Jackson. I'm a DeSean Jackson stan as well, but each year that's ended, I've been like, all right, this is probably the year where he starts to lose a little bit of speed. Yeah. My man, dude, he's been able to maintain that speed, dude, into his 30s.
Well, I mean, Deion's still running what, like a 4.4, 4.5 at 50. Like T.O.'s out here late 40s, yeah, still running 4.5s. Yeah, like, you know,
trying,
these dudes,
trying to get back
when
in
you're
NFL
that fast, you got speed to lose, right? Like Deshaun Jackson may never, he might be 70 still running like a 4.6, bro. Right? Like he's just a blessed athlete, man.
He got football speed. He got football speed. Puga, I think he I think Deshaun will probably retire as an Eagle. I believe he will.
Yeah.
Brandon, there are no rumors of him coming back. We're just having a conversation.
Yeah. We're fantasizing.
For those of you guys rolling in, we're talking about the I Am Athlete Deshaun Jackson interview. If you haven't seen it, check it out on YouTube. It's a phenomenal interview where he's very transparent and talks about some things that he hasn't talked about at all. Todd mentions here, D-Jack's dad is owed a lot of credit for keeping him on the right path. That's what separates him from others in Crenshaw District, that his father was in his life, kind of like Trey from Boys. You know, he speaks to that, and it's his relationship with his father was very – he has a documentary out there that his brother was actually a filmmaker, his brother Byron. They've been filming Deshaun Jackson ever since he was a kid. This is before we had high tech fancy phones and stuff. His dad and his brother were out there documenting everything. You get to see him as a young child out there competing, cocky and very just like same dude, but just like 10 years old out here outrunning everybody. But check that out. His father, had pancreatic cancer. And he talks about that, the relationship they had, and his father had was a diabetic as well. His dad just thought he had something he had to check up, and come to find I had pancreatic cancer. But he just talks about what his dad's death really meant for his career, and it kind of like it fueled everything he did. Like everything that he did, making the Pro Bowl was all for his dad. So it was pretty interesting.
Yeah,
Puga, man, you're gonna be upset because Primo and Gail paying for me to get in, so I ain't getting no money out of my pockets, bro.
That's an awesome pick.
Yeah,
look at young Deshaun, man.
That's gotta be in college.
He also talks about this story on draft day when he gets drafted by the Eagles. He gets a phone call from the man himself, Andy Reid, and he says, "Deshaun, we're going to draft you." This is not like welcome to the team, blah blah blah. The second thing out of his mouth was like, "I just want to make sure your father's not going to be a problem." So he's like, "Here I am in the best moment of my life getting drafted, but Andy Reid is like mentioning I don't want your father to be a problem," and he's like. Nah, he's not going to be a problem. So what he heard, he's like, Andy Reid was just doing his due diligence. He probably got the information that he got. The coach from Cal was like, Deshaun Jackson's father is a problem. Like,
I get that, but I feel like it's one of those things that's a time and place. Like, even if you're trying to forecast that, whether his dad is going to be a problem or not, I don't think that's a conversation for your first phone call. That's to me, it seems weird. It seems like congratulations, welcome to the team. Once you get in the fold a little bit, like, all right, so like, listen, I heard something. I just want to clear this up.
That's too late. You already drafted him. His dad is going to be a problem no matter what at that point, right? Yeah. Like, that's a conversation you have before you pull a trigger on that pick. Yeah. Like, I hate those questions. I hate those insinuations. Like, I hate that whole line of reasoning or quote unquote logic from front offices. When these young black kids have a father that is like dominant, like the same thing was said about LeBron Ball. Yeah. Right? Ball, he got two kids in the NBA stunting on people. Everybody thought he'd be the worst human being. All he did was raise three sons that are doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, man. All of that, I would have hung up on Andy Reid, bro. I'm like, yo, treat me, dog.
Brandon Marshall was like, I would have hung up. I would have said draft someone else. And then like, Pac-Man Jones was like, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't.
Nah,
he
definitely wouldn't. Nah.
Now, Glover.
You kill it. Say his last name, yo. Say the whole name.
I'm thinking Danny Glover. Yeah. So this is another story which I thought was pretty cool. His agency shared the same agency as Jerry Rice. Mm. So he had this moment where he got to go on field to train with Jerry Rice before he was even drafted. So he's running routes with Jerry Rice and, you know, the greatest to ever do it. So he runs all his routes. And Deshaun wants to know what Jerry Rice thinks of his routes, like which one is going to be, you know, the worst. Or he only said one. He only critiqued one route. He said it was your 5 yard out. He's like, you run it way too fast. You got to slow down and run that route, you know, change it up. And he said once Jerry Rice told him about, you know, timing your routes and slowing down, he's like, it was over. He's like, he didn't critique any other routes. He's like, right then and there, he's like, I knew I was going to tear up the NFL.
I used to love watching him run his routes because it was just this thing in the very beginning he had with him. I don't know if you guys ever noticed. He had like this hop skip. Mm-hmm. As soon as the play would go, he had this hop skip and he was gone. Like, yo, that I used to imitate that when I would go play flag football with guys. Like that hop skip, that was a big factor. Like that he had that to the key, like knocked down. Like, you know what I mean? And it was just cool to see, like, yo, seeing this guy just right off the line, get ready to go. Like he had you thinking he was gonna stay still. Next minute, you know, he's already behind you. Like it was wild.
Yeah, well, D-Tack's one of those dudes you can't miss, right? Because like Shady was saying how when he came back to play the Eagles, he was yelling at the coaches because they kept trying to bump D-Jax. I'm like, nah, you give him – I love the whole, like, Bill Belichick approach, right, where it's like you're going to give him help over the top. You're going to play him off. Like, he won't be the guy that kills you. Yet so many teams allowed Deshaun Jackson to be the guy that killed them. But you knew his nine route was money. How you letting them over the top? Deep pose, deep flags. I used to just marvel sometimes watching them. Like, how did y'all let this happen? Like, who designed y'all defensive game plan where you just got
who was watching film? Man. Yeah,
so chewed by Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, you know he has a term for that. It says GTB. He's like, when I'm out there, GTFB, get the F back. he tells all the defense sense, facts, like, GTFB. And I was like, this guy's common hilarious. Sense, he did talk about this, his second stint coming back with the Eagles, and saying that one of the wide receiver coaches was challenging him. Like, he's like, yo, I just signed here. Like, he's like, I'm going to make Deshaun Jackson earn this money.
Nah, he's that like, was the Bucks, he said.
Was it the Bucks?
That was the Bucks position coach.
It was like
he signed that the contract, and he said as soon as he showed up,
yeah,
the
first yeah.
thing he said to him was like, "You got to earn that money." He was like, "Isn't that what y'all signed me for?" Yeah,
that's funny, man. I'm just like, man, he dropped some gems, man. I mean, but overall, sure. It's just like you look at this, version of Deshaun Jackson. And then you look at this version of the old Wiley vet. Like, I never, you know, he is the OG now.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. What's one thing that Jerry Rice seemed to not teach Deshaun on the field was about marketing.
The worst. The absolute. If anyone is looking at the video.
Terrible.
This like. I have no problems with Jerry Rice. There are no other blemishes on his career, but this commercial is the worst. He has a face mask with a piece of chicken on it.
That's the worst thing I've ever seen, dude.
I mean,
what is it with like some of the all-time greats, bro, that just refuse to say no to any ad? Like Shaquille O'Neal, he's another one. He'll never say no to an ad. The first time he does it'll be the first time.
Paid.
Even paid. He knew not to have chicken just dangling in front of his face. Like he at least is doing some Papa John's. I mean, you know what I mean? You know, yeah. I don't know.
Hey, Daz, that commercial is real. I have that stored on my phone, that photo actually.
100%.
I knew I brought that up just because I knew it irks Gale.
Like there's no tarnish on his rep at all.
except
at all, except for that.
Yeah, that's an ugly look, man.
It reminds me of Undercover Brother, yo. Where they had the chicken commercials. Y'all remember that?
Where Julian Edelman took his daughter to the prom.
Whose daughter? I mean, his own daughter?
Julian Edelman.
Yeah. What if she didn't have a date? He's just
took
being
his,
a good dad.
No, his I'm just saying that daughter to the prom. Mm.
No, Julian Edelman took Jerry Rice's daughter to the prom.
Took Jerry Rice's daughter. I thought you meant his own daughter. I was like, what's
it sounded like you said his own daughter.
Oh no way. That's not what kind of show this is over here.
That's what you said.
So three of the four people on right now came away that Julian Edelman took his own daughter to prom. Yes. So something you said was not.
Yes.
That was my face. I'm like, ain't never heard of that.
Mike says, Mike, hey, now getting the bag is different after you retire from the NFL. Doing strange things for change.
Yeah. And you know what? To play devil's advocate with the whole Jerry Rice thing, he did play in a time where, I mean, if you obviously the contracts are constantly inflating. So, like, he might be looking at, like, some of the bread that these guys are making. It's like, you know what? Like, I'm the greatest wide receiver of all time. Yeah. I deserve that fat bank account, too. So, I guess.
He did not get it from that chicken helmet, though.
No, he did not.
Well,
I
lied when I said that was the only. I lied that when I said it was the only blemish. I think the second one was when he had the cornrows, when he had the five head going, and then he got cornrows to the back. I was like, bro, come on, man. Let's. I mean, you don't tell Jerry Rice to do anything, but, you know, lose the cornrows, bro. Let it go. You know, I think the other one, you know, one of the last topics from the I Am Athlete podcast with DeSean Jackson, you know, they made mention of his numbers and the fact, does DeSean Jackson have enough stats to make it into Hall of Fame?
I don't think so.
The Hall of Really Good.
Yeah. You got to, look at the list, because they talk about the logjam at wide receiver. Look at the wide receivers that, Sterling Sharp is still not in the Hall of Fame, bro. Right? Like, there's, like, wide receivers right now that had incredible careers that are fringing. I don't know that D-Jax, I put him above any of those dudes, and it's also really hard for returners to make the Hall of Fame. So
Eagles Hall of Fame, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. He definitely is in the ring. For the Eagles, but I don't know that he gets a gold jacket. Maybe in like 50 years. I don't think
Brandon Marshall was like, he's like, before this conversation, if you would have just came up to me and said, does DeSean Jackson, has he done enough to make the Hall of Fame? He's like, I would have said no. But it's like, when I went back and looked at the numbers, over 1,100 or 1,200 yards.
I think it's 1,100 receiving
yards. He has the most deep, 50 yard touchdowns.
We know that part. We know that for sure. We know that.
So
Teddy's got 11,000 yards and how many touchdowns?
90. I think 58 receiving touchdowns, 11,110 yards, 632 receptions.
I don't know why the first name that came to mind where I was thinking about trying to think of comparable careers. Donald Driver came to mind. Ooh. I would argue probably one of the best wide receivers in Packers history. He's still not in either. And he's got 10,100 yards and 61 TDs. So he's got – DeSean has 1,000 more yards but 3 less touchdowns. Which, I mean, honestly, to have a better – career than Donald Driver, I think, is a fringe.
And then he follows up. These guys had guys like Brett Favre, or he's like, he only got 2 years with a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So that's, he's like,
if I was the return yards and the return touchdowns and just how impactful that miracle at the Meadowlands too. Like, I feel like that should carry some weight as well.
So I'm looking at the Hall of Fame tracker from Pro Football Reference, or the Hall of Fame monitor. I don't know if folks use that, but it's actually a pretty cool tool. So he's behind a gang of people. he's got a heck of a hill to climb, son. So you got Sterling Sharp, Rod Smith, Hines Ward, Anquan Boldin.
Hines Ward's not in yet?
Nope. Hines Ward didn't make it. Irvin Fryer, who had a heck of a career. Shouts out to him for coming on Mind Your Mentals. You still have Derek Mason, you got Ocho Cinco, Keenan McCardo, who was a heck of a receiver for the Jaguars. Roddy White had a heck of a career for Atlanta.
Wes I think Broker, I put Sean ahead of Deshaun stupid. Jackson, though, man.
Andre Rison. D-Hop is on here ahead of D-Jax, too. I mean, I'm not arguing that all of these people necessarily should be listed above them, but they do take into consideration all pros, Pro Bowls, rings, and then, like, their overall statistics as well.
Hey, man. Roddy White's listed above.
You never know, man.
I'm not surprised that Roddy White's listed above.
You never know. You never know. It could be a long time. Yeah,
anything is possible for sure.
You know. Anything.
Anything? Any other takeaways from that interview that you guys had?
It was just good to see D-Jax in an element where he could be honest. You know what I mean? And you know, I hope there isn't a ton of blowback from him speaking his truth, right? Like. See. But
the only person, the only person I could just see overreacting about it is you know who, your boy.
Nah, that ain't cool. You was playing that Gail. Yeah, that's Gail, boy.
Your boy.
Yeah.
Nah, your boy.
The homie right there, Gail.
Yeah, bro. Hey, bro. He cut me deep a long time ago. I don't even talk about it. I have just moved. I did bump into him at the NFL draft randomly, but it was like a. So, dude, not like, you know, it wasn't like, yeah. I was like,
Deshaun, though, bro.
If I met Deshaun, the funny thing is, it's like,
when we got his autograph that one time.
We did meet Deshaun.
He was cool.
You know who was also cool? His mom. His mom will stand up for his son, for her son, no matter. Like, she will come, she will find your tweet, she will let you know. I said, I love D-Jax. I have no hate for your son. I was like, me and you have the same name. His mom's also name is Gail. I said, we have no beef. Cause I had posted a video of the first time Deshaun came back in a Washington uniform. And I said, Deshaun Jackson is out here. Eagle fans are letting him know. And it wasn't just, they were just booing. That was it. Right, and she was just letting me have it. And I was like, "Whoa, I'm not trying to.
I'm not dissing. I'm just reporting the news here.
just speaking facts."
That was my son's first jersey, man. You know what I mean?
Deshaun
Jackson's second stint.
Yeah.
Deshaun Jackson jersey, and I'm not going to get rid of that one. That's going to stay in the closet.
Nah, that's money. Yeah,
I was looking through the jerseys in my closet that were dug deep back there, bro. I found a Dante Stallworth. How about that?
That's a throwback.
that miracle in the Meadowlands, man, that was bonkers. The Vic touchdown. That laser he threw? Amazing.
Laser.
Trev asks, are we allowed to disown Shady McCoy for wearing Steelers hat and Penguins jersey?
I'm not.
Gale disowned Shady when he gave up.
Oh. Oh, I didn't watch the end game until probably 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
I finally watched it. I was like,
he had people sick on Twitter.
As a guy that didn't watch any of that stuff, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. it was pretty funny. Son.
Dan says he's got a Sean Bradley jersey.
Ooh,
hidden in his.
Ooh, buddy.
Wow.
Not bad.
I know someone's got an Asma jersey in here. Prime got an Osmo. Yo, Prime's collection got Prime. Prime got like 100 jerseys in this.
Yeah, all right. Ain't no Osmo.
He got an Osmo helmet. What an Osmo helmet, bro.
Yeah, all right.
I still have an Osmo jersey.
Do you?
It's good, bro.
He married
Kerry Washington.
The only 24 jersey I got is Sheldon Brown. That's it.
And
that's
my dumbass bought a Sidney Jones jersey, bro.
I put on a D-Jax jersey like 2 weeks ago.
Listen, I'm going to still rock a D-Jax. Absolutely. Keep an eye out for it because I'm rocking it during the season. That man is still
Philadelphia
Eagle all day, man.
Shout out to Justin Emery, the first producer of Fourth and John. That guy used to do every podcast from his raggedy-ass Deshaun Jackson jersey. It looked like it was about to fall apart.
Rackshack says he needs to get a Dawkins jersey. I think it's time.
Yeah,
it's Trev says, I got a Darius Slay number 24 jersey. And speaking of,
that's like vintage. Jerseys,
We might be doing a little reveal on the next pod. Hint. Before we get out of here, we did end up me, Prime, and Mal got an opportunity to go to the Devontae Smith celebrity softball game. Now we're talking about a softball game, but the amount of fun that we had.
Yeah.
There was moments in the game where it got out of. This was like, where is this game going? They gave away a free Mercedes.
They had like a 13-minute intermission to give that car away too.
And then Mal and Prime schooled me on the taxes that this guy, this dude and his two kids. He's like, they're gonna have to pay taxes.
The one Mercedes. Like,
yeah. About to get smoked.
You can turn around and flip that right away.
Yeah, like, that's what I said. I was like, I'm selling it immediately, bro. You're taking them taxes right out that resale. I ain't playing that game.
So besides the Mercedes giveaway, there's a home run derby which AJ Brown won.
Yeah. AJ Brown for sure.
But there got to a moment in the game where it was. Micah Parsons' team was up 12-6.
12-6.
And then it was like 12-6. We can't, the home team came back, and then it was left with Devontae Smith on second base and Jalen Hurts with an opportunity to just come up and hit a go yard, like Mal and Prime would say, go yard.
We told Gail we'll go yard, man.
Go. I said, I just like take it to the yard.
Take it to the yard.
So also Jalen Hurts hits a dinger, man, and this the place erupted. It was almost like a Bryce Harper style. And the other thing is a lot of people didn't realize Jalen Hurts was a lefty.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just a softball game. But I felt like we left there kind of geek, no?
No, it definitely was. I mean, I had a great time. I mean, Michael Parsons was definitely trying to get us rowdied up because, we didn't like him. All the Penn State fans, regardless of that, he was still getting booed, you know what I mean? Yeah. So he was running his mouth talking about he was there to go ahead and start the 0-3 streak where he was going to give our Philadelphia Eagles the first loss during the softball game and then come and see him two times during the NFL season. Well, you know what? It already got killed right there because Jalen Hurts done switched it up, hit that two-run dinger, you know what I mean, won it. Not only that, he lost to A.J. Brown. So I'm going to say he's going to go 0-4. 0-4. He's already 0-2 because he lost to A.J. in the home run derby, all right, and then he lost the game. And, man, yeah, listen, that man was crying. It's a softball game, and he was crying.
He struck out twice. Jalen struck him out twice as well in softball.
Why is he pitching like that? He got to pitch this way. He got to pitch that way.
it was a good crowd. And I think
the
other takeaway from that day was, and not that, you know, I've been seeing all these other analysts and talking heads in the Philadelphia community talk about how close this Eagles unit seems to be.
Absolutely.
And like that, my takeaway after that day, I was like, these guys, like, they like each other, man.
And Jalen,
the stars,
their leader, you know what I mean? They're like, they're close, and that Hurts is their leader, like, unquestioned. Let's
talk about rally around the troops,
yeah.
I mean, rally around the
family, pocketful.
Yeah, shout out, I'm not sure if you saw, shout out to Chris Franklin, man. I didn't even realize he was in the booth that day. I walk by, I see like a half of his face, and I kind of like recognize. I gave him the head nudge, and then as I'm walking, I'm like, I know that dude. Like, I just saw him a couple weeks ago. Yeah, but then I hit him up later on that night, and I was like, look, man, my bad. But shout out to Chris because he put out an article speaking about the chemistry those guys had that day.
Yeah.
It was fun watching those guys bug out the way they were doing.
Yeah.
Dallas was having a great time. Yeah. Jalen was having a good time. Devontae was having a great time. You had the Kobe Dean out there. Brandon Graham. Yo, come on, fellas. Like, did you see? Like, I saw that thing from the dip. Evan, in person, that boy bulked up. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
Who's it?
I was moving around.
BG?
BG. He got big.
He can't swing a softball bat for shit, but He was, yo.
A lot of them couldn't, which was funny.
Yeah, a lot of them couldn't. I was like getting so amped up that I wanted to at least work my way down there and be like, look, man, pick the bat up a little bit more. Put your elbow back. You get a little bit more pop out of it, but yeah.
You know, I was taking film of like the, you know, batting practice or the home run derby, and I was like, it got so bad that I was like, I gotta stop filming because some of these guys just, yeah.
The conversations we were having in the background were more entertaining than like what you were recording, man. Some of those swings were just horrendous. But definitely shouts out to Chris Franklin, man. Heck of a like journalist, reporter, good writer, man, good dude.
He's always he had a nice shot of the home run. Like I was going back to watch all the different angles of like the home run, and it was just dope to see everybody had a good time.
They actually
great
showed
day,
the game.
Great
they showed
day.
The game the other night on TV
on TV.
Yeah, they had the game the other night on TV. Yeah, just watching.
And I was the guy that left before all the festivities took place, trying to beat the traffic out. And I get home and I see the game winning home run. I'm like, of course. I left like 15 minutes before all of this happens.
See, we were trying to beat traffic.
We were at the edge of our seats, just waiting to see what was going down. It's softball, man. Anybody can come back from a 12-run, from a 6-run
absolutely
deficit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we missed you out there, Ev. But I know. Congratulations to Lindsay for graduating.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You know, so that's a salute to the Hearn family and the Hearn parents.
Another graduate. Yep.
Producing another college graduate.
Two for two.
Who's the smartest out of y'all?
I'll let her have that cake.
Man. It's her.
You got no choice.
Yeah. Shout out to her, man. So before we get out of here, we'll go with Mal. Anything you want to leave the people with?
Yeah, just excited as always to be here with y'all, man. You know, glad that, you know, I was telling you, so I got a chance to meet your lovely girlfriend, and I was explaining to her, Gail don't let me out, right? Like, he don't really be letting me go to events and stuff. And so I just felt real fortunate that you let me out the basement. You let me go to the event. I got to meet people. I got some sunshine that day. I was hyped, bro. Got some vitamin E in my life. Got to meet prom, beautiful family. And then he locked me back in the basement. And then, you know how that goes. Nah, man, Gail, as always, I just appreciate you, dude, because, you know, you continue to put me on and continue to expose me to opportunities and stuff. And had it not been for you, I wouldn't have went to that game. So it was just a great game, great opportunity, had a good time. And just excited. My excitement is ramping up for the season. Watching how close-knit that group was. Even A.J. Brown, who's brand new, right? Like, you got N'Kobe Dean, like, the rookies are in there. And, like, you can see the cohesion. Just praying on them to stay healthy. And, you know, yeah, we go where Jalen Hurts takes us. And I have the ultimate faith that he's going to take us wherever. Back to the playoffs at the very least. 17-0, baby. I'm standing on game. Standing on business.
Love it.
Mal. Prime.
just so you know, Maul, when you showed up there, we spotted you right around the corner. There was no way we were not making it. And there he is right there. He's in the building.
Coward Johnson over here for no reason.
Yeah, but real talk, the best thing about that day was definitely seeing the chemistry these guys are building up. They were having a great time, and that's what we need. We need these guys to be on the same page, especially going into the season, because the expectations from us Eagles fans is really getting up there, you know what I mean? Like, things are in place for us to have a great season and going forward. So, that was the beginning of many, because these guys are talking about doing a lot of things like that so they could go ahead and build that chemistry. It kind of goes back to one of the key things that I even took that with me to my softball game the next day, where, like, you got to go ahead and get that, you know, that relationship with the next man that's going to back you up. You know, in the position, go out, have a drink with him or spend some time to get to know that person so you can go ahead and build that trust. And that's what these guys got going on. Look, prime example, they came together and they came back and won that game. So that right there is big. So, you know what I mean? Take that onto the football field, take that into this NFL season, and the expectations is only going to go by high from here on out. Last thing I want to say tomorrow, shout out to my pops, man. It's going on 2 years since you've been gone. It's your birthday tomorrow. I'm going to be thinking about you. It's going to be a little rough day tomorrow, but,
happy birthday. Gonna, yeah. Love you,
probably. It's going to be big tomorrow for him.
Yes, sir.
What's the man?
I just want to personally, before you butcher my name too, Gail, I just want to, like, Mal, you said the word cohesion, and I just want to build off of that word. Where I'm looking at the squad we have right now. You're right. They are a very well-knit group. The cohesion is clear as day, and I'm excited for that. If we can go full circle with it, like, if I'm thinking back to the Donovan McNabb era, that's one thing that, like, really the team didn't have. I mean, we had a lot of talented dudes on the in the locker room, but we didn't have any cohesion. So to see the talent that we have on paper, and to see the chemistry that's already building this early in the offseason, I have high hopes for the season. So go Birds.
Absolutely. Go Birds.
Yeah, I mean, just to piggyback off what you guys had said, I mean, it was just great to have having a day out there just relaxing, enjoying the birds. And it's not like in an Eagle setting, it's softball, but just watching the guys have fun, just hanging out with you guys, just building, just good vibes all the way around. I felt like I needed that just for the mentals, just out there, just having a good old time. I'm just gearing up for that excitement. Like, I just feel like I just can't believe how many different difference makers we have. Like, you can go from old to new to, you know, just the good core group of guys that I think Hurts is really just taking his leadership role to another level. Also, I just, before we get out of here, I just wanted to, you know, prayers go to the families that were affected this week. The South Street shooting. Yeah. We just talk about this gun violence. It's just a thing. Like 3 years ago, me and my brother were at the same spot on South Street. And I had a moment where looked at my brother. I'm like, yo, we got to get out of here. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, and he's like, we got to get out of here. I'm like, we got to get out of here. And then 25 minutes is a shooting and the same spot. And then, I mean, this is like three or four years later and same thing. I mean, it's just a thing that, you know, it's really, you know, it's crazy what's going on in this nation, but I just want everyone to stay safe out there, man.
Absolutely.
Mind your mentals, and we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly Eagles. Fly.
Go Birds.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.